Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators for a successful freelance career and lifestyle with your host, Tess Witte.
This episode is sponsored by WordFinder. I have used WordFinder for almost 10 years now, and I love how I can choose among so many dictionaries from my language combination, plus add my own dictionaries. After selecting the dictionaries in the online interface, I download the desktop app for even faster searches. I can instantly search for a word among all specialized and general dictionaries that WordFinder provides, plus in my own dictionaries that I have added. I also use WordFinder app on my phone for my quick dictionary searches on the go. Find out more and try it for free by going to wordfinder.com. I am so glad you're here, and I look forward to providing useful business information for you while you listen. In this episode, I'm interviewing another one of the guests that you have recommended, and today we're going to talk about professional associations, how important they are, what associations to join, and much more. I have the pleasure of welcoming Geo Lester. She has had almost 38 years of a career in linguistics as a language teacher, introductory module for legal translation at Brasilis Idiomas in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. She has organized international and local professional events and performed many administrative roles in various professional associations. So she also has a lesser and more special known skill, she says. She can read and write upside down and backwards, which is a great help for her when she plays word search puzzles. Welcome, Gio, or should I say Giovanna?
Americans have a hard time with my full name, so they call me Gio.
Okay. So did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, you did. Okay. For Brazil, yes. For the Italians, I don't think they would like that.
Oh. Well,
they pronounce it Joe. The G-I-O is one sound.
Giovanna.
Joe.
Giovanna.
Yep.
Okay.
But your Portuguese is very good. That Brasilis Idiomas came out great.
Great. I'm glad. So read and write upside down and backwards. How did you develop that skill, or did you just have it all the time?
Actually, that is a leftover symptom of an infirmity I had when I was 10 years old. Nobody was ever able to decide what I had. I spent a whole week in the hospital, had no motor control. And I discovered that the best way for me to control my handwriting, the shaking in my hand, was by writing upside down. And I had to write backwards so people could read it when I turned the paper over.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it stuck.
Good. All right, Gio, you are pretty well known, at least here in the United States and in Brazil. But tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in translation and interpretation.
I'm a Brazilian, as you have mentioned before, and have been here since, 1985. It's a long time. My career started just yesterday and forever ago. It's been so long. Love languages, and you can blame that on my dad. He used to throw merci beaucoup, excuse me, and da's and yet's all over the place when we were talking, and that's how it started.
Okay.
So you forward a few decades, and I end up getting my first job, which happened to be as a bilingual secretary in a tour agency.
Okay.
I had to translate, interpret. But still, I did not see it as a career, you know. I lost my job there and had to use the language skills I had to pay the bills. And that's how I started. Then I joined the ATA after I moved to the U.S. And you just mentioned I had a few administrative roles as a volunteer there. Mm-hmm. Then I joined the Coalition for Certification of Medical Interpreters, mm-hmm. then National Board. I became their director, vice chair. I had worked as president of the ATA Florida chapter in 2001 through 2003. Mm-hmm. That one was called FLATA, FLATA. Mm-hmm. But then it died.
Okay.
And we decided to get another one going. And they came to me, and we did. We got the new one called ATIF. Mm-hmm. I was elected its first president, and then they asked me to take over the board because of some issues they were having, and I became their interim president, which was coincided with the ATA conference here in 2015.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. So. And now I also sit in the Miami-Dade College Translation and Interpretation Advisory Council. Long name. We meet twice a year only. So okay. It's been 37 exciting and rewarding years for me. I like it.
Sounds like it. So what would you say your main job is today? You're very involved in organizations, but do you do mostly interpreting or translation or a little bit of both or teaching?
A little bit of both, but I really love interpreting. That's what I have been focusing on for the past close to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Has paid off. I like it. I like it very much.
And you're a medical interpreter.
I do medical, but it's not my main thing, actually.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, I do mostly conference interpreting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds, I know that everybody wants to be a conference interpreter.
It is so much fun.
Yeah, I bet.
I love it. And the best thing is that for me, okay, I have an enormous thirst for knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely love the fact that this week I'm doing something related to medicine. Next week it's business. The following week it's education. Then it's pharmaceuticals. And it mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah.
And I'm always studying and learning.
Yep. That's sort of my thing too with translation. But even if I tend to focus on just a few specializations. So can you real briefly tell us how you developed your business or something, give any tips to people developing their freelance business?
Well, I started before some of those who are listening here were even born. So,
okay.
Yeah, last century. So
typewriters.
Yes. Yeah. We had time to go to the library. So at that time, as I had mentioned to you, I had lost my job and my language skills became a means of earning a living. I had never seen it as a career, mm-hmm. least of all a business. Mm-hmm. So I am really glad that now people have finally realized that it is a business. Yes, each one of us. Each one of us, to a certain extent, is a business. So I am extremely grateful to the work that Jonathan Hine, you, Marta Stelmachek-Rosa, Corinne McKay, and others are doing, because mm-hmm. it is very important for us to understand we are each the CEOs of our company, mm-hmm. number one.
Yes.
So it is important for you to create a routine, even if it's not doing the same thing every day, but every week you have to do something. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to save my Wednesday mornings, my slow day, Wednesday morning, to do my accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was wonderful when it worked for me. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah.
You know. I didn't work weekends. Forget about my weekends. That was my family time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Laundry, clean up the house.
Mm-hmm.
Market. And sometimes be with my husband and my children too. We women have to do everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And forward to this period we are in now, you know, being able to use emails to reach out to sometimes hundreds of clients and potential clients beats having to lick envelopes and stamps. That's what I had to do. No handwritten notes. You can now type into your computer or dictate. You can dictate into your computer.
Yes.
To get things going, you know. Have you ever used your telephone to dictate into your computer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should try it. It's great. Because, what do you call it? Dragon, naturally speaking, has a limited number of languages that they work with. Mm-hmm. However, your telephone has about 45.
Oh, I should check that. I think I've heard this before, and I haven't really checked it out because Dragon on the computer doesn't speak Swedish.
Yes.
So, but maybe on the telephone. So do you connect it to your computer with a cable then, or?
Actually, some colleagues in Brazil have devised a way where you use TeamViewer to remotely control your computer through your telephone.
Hmm.
And then they open their CAT tool and dictate into it. No problem.
Could you send us a link to TeamViewer in case somebody wants to check it out?
Definitely. We'll do that.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. What I actually do is I have MS Word Office in my telephone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I open a Word document and I start dictating straight into it. And then I save it to my Google Drive, open my computer, and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can dictate while I'm on the train. I've done jobs while watching my daughter play soccer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I come home and then you go and you fix the mistakes here and there, do the editing that you need to do. But at least you got most of it taken care of. If you're home, then you can even dedicate yourself much better to it.
Yeah.
So organizing yourself, your space. Nowadays, we don't have to worry so much about paper because we are receiving everything over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are great, great tips. So, but what we're going to talk about today and that I think we both are very fond of are professional organizations and giving back and being involved. So I know that you will be presenting on the importance of professional associations in our careers on December 2nd for YAPTI. Yes. Can you explain why professional associations are so important for us freelance linguists?
Oh, definitely. They are like a family. Mm-hmm. Of people who think like you, like-minded individuals. But first and foremost comes their responsibility. They are taking off the shoulders of the government a burden because they cannot take care of everything.
The government cannot take care of everything.
So most professional associations are non-profit organizations. And in that sense, they're kind of a partners with the government. Mm-hmm. And their payback is tax exemptions. That's true in the United States of America. I do not know about other places in the world. Okay. And there are over 30 different types of nonprofit companies, for the IRS. Then what I love about them is that they are our warriors. They help develop those standards we fight for, define the scope of our work. In the case of interpreters, for example, even our work environment, the requirements for a good work environment are there. They also give us a lot of support, access to information, resources, courses, learning opportunities. Some of them are offering webinars for free to their members, others at a discount, plus the networking opportunities when we have conventions, conferences, meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, it is great. So ultimately, they have paved the way for the rights and benefits that you and I and our colleagues all enjoy nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So the work we are doing, you and I right now, is just to ensure that those rights they have conquered and those benefits remain valid.
Mm-hmm.
And that we keep on working to keep them contemporary and make sure that our colleagues in the future can take advantage of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to set an example for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the way I think about it. And that's why I have done all the work I do with advocacy and everything. Because for me, that's what I'm doing. I'm setting an example.
Yes, that's a very good answer. So what professional association should we join? Should they be local or national or language specific or specialization specific? What do you think?
All of the above.
Okay. We should join several associations.
Well, associations and groups, because nowadays, for example, we have all the groups in social media, mm-hmm. Facebook and WhatsApp groups and all that, and they're free.
Okay.
And they
yes.
offer you a lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that we should join all of the above. I am a member of the Brazilian Translators and Interpreters Association, ABRATES,
mm-hmm.
The ATA, IAPTI, or mm-hmm. YAPTI, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm involved with many divisions within the ATA,
mm-hmm.
but I am also a member of over 20 groups within Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm a member of many too.
They help us. I mean, you have groups, you can look for medicine in your language, okay? Swedish, look for groups of medical interpreters or translators. You're going to
mm-hmm.
find them.
Mm-hmm.
Groups for German, for Portuguese, for technology. I belong mm-hmm. to a technology group, a Brazilian technology group within Facebook. And whenever somebody needs to replace their computer, they go there and ask questions. Okay, what configuration should I be looking for? I'm going to be working with videos and this and that and that. And everybody chips in and everybody gives an idea. And
mm-hmm.
so it's really.
And are you there?
Yes.
Okay. And I was going to say that it's since many of us work from home when we're not out on a job, it's also sort of the water cooler up in an office. We discuss on how to do things and solve problems, right? So, okay.
You can learn about marketing with gurus like you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is cool. It's mm-hmm. really cool.
So let's give two examples now, or three actually, if I can have you based on three examples. Let's say I am a member of my national organization, ATA, American Translators Association, but I'm also a member of the local American Marketing Association. How can I best benefit from these two memberships?
Be active.
How?
They always need volunteers to assist with let's say the registration table when they're having an event.
Okay, so, now I'm going to be the devil's advocate, but that's more work for me. How will that benefit me?
Well, it will benefit you because you're going to have the opportunity to put your face to the name everybody has heard or read
mm-hmm.
in those letters that you write to the editor or to those emails or the responses you give to the exchanges they have in their listserv or their Facebook page. So now all of a sudden, GEO is no longer a sound. It
mm-hmm.
has a name.
Mm-hmm.
Has that crazy hair. You know.
You have lovely hair.
Thank you. So that's one point. The other point is that just like having a profile on LinkedIn. If you are not active within the groups you join within LinkedIn, there is no point in having a profile there. Nobody knows you exist. You just want more string of letters. So, yes, you have to be active. And that the actions can take different forms. You can write an article for their newsletter. Okay? You can answer questions. You can volunteer to take care of their Facebook page for 1 week or however long they need it, and that is not going to interrupt your routine. That is the key thing, being able to match the two, their needs and your availability.
That's the hard thing. That's what my follow-up question is that I hear a lot, but I don't have time, or it costs too much, the membership. What do you say about that?
Well, it is all true, but not belonging costs even more. I have received 10 times fold what I have invested into the ATA, for example. I was just contacted 2 days ago by somebody who saw my name in the Brazilian Association. You know, so yes, you get a job from those things. So you have to plan accordingly. And the best thing to do is, first of all, you're interested in a given organization or association, go to their website. Check what is going on there. What are they offering you? What do you get as a member? What levels of membership do they offer? See if they have a social media presence. Go to their social media. Check it out. I mean, if there is a lot of bickering on their social media, forget it. Don't even bother. Come back later to take a look. Okay? But other things you can do. Let's say you work with the law. All right. Check your state bar association. They may have socials that are open to the public and free. Maybe it's once a year. You go there, bring your business cards. Great networking opportunity. Find out those lawyers you want to meet, because they do have a membership roster with pictures and all the information you need. Pick four of those guys that you really are salivating over. This is marketing, sales, right? So you go there trying to meet them.
Yes, yes. Okay?
But you need to know how to sell yourself. But that's another story.
It is. But you know. Joining an association and being active certainly is a great first step. Okay, so you've also co-organized the online translation and interpretation conference in August in Brazil, right?
No, online.
Online. It was online. I lost your information about that. What was the best learning points from that conference that you can share with other translators and interpreters?
Remote, simultaneous interpreting works.
Okay.
Remote. Believe it? Yeah.
Okay.
Remote, simultaneous interpreting. It was a great experience. It was not a financial success. Let me make it very clear. It was not a financial success. It was the first time we tried that. But in terms of lessons learned and support, gosh, I have so many people to thank. I could take the whole program here just thanking people. But I have to mention Code Switch Media, Alma Vox, ECPD, Kudo, and Headvox. These people were wonderful. They jumped in with me and gave me a lot of support and allowed us, me and Marcia, to deliver that event. 2 days. It was very beautiful. So that's the number one thing, you know. Make sure you network and that you understand what friendship and business are. Keep them separate. But remember that the two of them can be intertwined to your benefit. So from the organizational point, we didn't have enough people in our team. Okay. We needed to learn to delegate chores. It's extremely important. And trust. This is one of the most important ingredients in any project. And from the presenters, you know, the speakers who were there, they were top quality. Joost Setzer. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I said it right.
Yes.
Yeah. Joost was there. Barry Slaughter Olson, Paul Arturo, Silvio Piccinini, so many people. We learned that machine translation can be used as a tool to improve your productivity. It's not a monster. It's not always wrong. Once in a while, you can use it. You use it on your telephone all the time. Yep. You know, every time it suggests a word for you, even though it's wrong, that's machine translation. Contracts. A contract is not a death sentence. There is always room for negotiation. Just because the company wants you to do everything in blue ink, well, you can discuss the shade of the blue.
Okay.
There's always room for negotiation. Change. Change is coming, and you cannot hide from it. Sticking your head in the sand is not going to help. Select your clients based on your expectations. We have been taught to prepare ourselves to serve, right? But, well, I've gotten to the point where I know what I can give you. But I cannot just have that you represent everybody in the world. No, I want to find out who my client is, my ideal client. And then it's going to be a lot easier for me. Instead of going to 10 people, I can go to 3 or 4 instead and have, you know, my things taken care of. Culture, don't forget it. Don't ignore it. It's a very important variable. And volunteer work. Volunteer work can open doors that you never even thought existed. It's wonderful. So that's from Convitai.
So... how many do you know about how many participants you had and from what countries?
18 different countries. We just didn't have people from Africa. Let me see. Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, Australia, Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, Ecuador, Mexico, United States, Canada, Germany, France, United Kingdom, and I'm missing a few others there, but...
That's okay. Do you know about how many participants they were, total?
In total, we had 90 people attending between speakers and organizers and attendees. I believe we got close to 70 attendees. So it was kind of a cozy event.
Are you going to do it again?
Definitely.
Okay.
Everybody's like, please, more. Give me more. It was wonderful.
Good. Yes. Well, let's put a link to the website of this conference, if it's still up,
it is.
In the show notes. So
yes,
yeah. Well, thank you so much. I am so glad to be able to finally talk to you and bring some of your knowledge to other translators and interpreters. So thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Tess. It's humbling to be invited here.
Oh, thank you for coming. I know my career took off after I joined ATA, and especially after attending the first conference. So I have been an active member ever since. So I hope you listeners are also members of professional bodies, both in your industry and in your specialization. If not, I recommend that you go and join one today. Being a member of professional association shows professionalism. It provides lots of opportunities for learning and networking. And like Gio said, it does pay off. It will bring you back more than you put in. So thank you again, Gio. And thank you for listening to all the listeners. And I will see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Before you go, I wanted to briefly introduce my new book, Marketing Tips for Translators, the ultimate collection of business tips from this podcast. The ideas and tools in this book have produced positive results for translators at every stage in the game, and they will for you too. The book will help you discover the inspiration you need to market your translation services in an efficient way, as well as fresh ideas about productivity and tools for organizing your time and workday. It also covers proven methods and systems for marketing to your ideal clients and strategies for maintaining a continuous marketing plan for finding new clients, keeping your existing clients, and getting the word out about your translation services. Each section of this book is adapted from a podcast interview with an established translator or another professional. I encourage you to check it out at marketingtipsfortranslators.com or look for it on Amazon or Kindle.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. Download more episodes from www.marketingtipsfortranslators.com. If you like the show, a review on iTunes would be much appreciated.